Catholic Views. I'm your host, Renee Kranz. On today's show, we will have Deacon Glenn Ritter back in the studio. I told you guys we were going to do an extra episode with him that would be on last week, but it was so good and we had a 20-minute conversation, so we decided to just do a second episode. So it is on this weekend instead. We had our second conversation more around the health of the mother and what that means, kind of the myths around it and how that is seen from a doctor's point of view and how they see all of those things around pregnancy and so on and health of the mother. So I hope you'll stick around for that. It's a really great conversation. First, we have Dr. Chris Bergwald in the studio for Biblical Bites with Dr. B. We get to do the slight pause for effect.
I've learned to wait.
Good job. I'm helping you learn patience.
Thank you. Oh, yes. That's good.
My kids, you are so impatient.
My kids would thank you for what? What?
I don't see you as that much of an impatient person, are you?
Well, we all have our crosses.
All of our gifts.
And our vices. Those are not always the same thing.
Okay.
So today is the fifth Sunday of Lent.
Yes.
We're in year B. I'm making it easy on you.
Thank you. I don't know why
What begins today, Renee?
What begins today?
Yes. Casey, are you? You're not a mic
it's
over there.
Micah, case, but
Casey,
you know
Casey's behind the scenes here. Oftentimes, many parishes, this is not really, I don't think it's a mandatory thing. If it is, some people aren't following the rules.
I think
it's better. Where images, like crucifixes and other images.
Oh, yes, they cover that.
The sixth Sunday of Lent is Palm Sunday.
Okay.
But with the fifth Sunday of Lent, holy images can be covered.
Right.
So beginning.
But sometime that week, they will be for sure. Usually.
Again, usually.
Not every parish, yeah.
What I want to focus on, so we're in year B, Mark's gospel. So the gospel, though, for this Sunday is from John. And it begins this way. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you," and he goes on from there. So this is one of those readings where I think for us who have learned or heard it we just sort of, hold on.
I was kind of doing that while you were reading
it a little bit. Yeah, you do that all the time when I read things. I know.
Pretty much.
I think really if we, I've talked before, Scott Hahn, Dr. Scott Hahn in his classes talks about the holy, huh? Mm-hmm. Like if we're really if you're paying attention, not just in one ear and out the other, wait, what? Huh?
What? I didn't listen to
what's
hard enough,
going
and I
on.
I didn't
here?
Get the holy, huh?
And that's a very common thing. It's okay. It's okay, Renee. I forgive
Yikes.
You. Some Greeks came to Philip. We want to see Jesus. Philip went to Andrew. Andrew and Philip go to Jesus. Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Okay.
That didn't really answer the question, did it?
What?
We want to see Jesus. And he's like,
why did they come to Philip? Why didn't they just go see Jesus? Jesus is preaching in the temple. Why doesn't Philip just take them straight to Jesus? Why does Philip go to Andrew? And then they go to Jesus. And then why does Jesus say, "Now the hour has come for the Son of Man," that's him, to be glorified?
Is there some sort of hierarchy already going on?
It's the Eros, isn't it? It was the Eros. They brought the Eros, Gyros, whatever you want to call them. And Jesus, now is the time the Gyros have come. Although I don't know that Gyros would be kosher, would they, Casey? I don't think they'd be. No, they're not kosher. Jesus is like, this is the time because I can't eat that because
right.
I'm a Jew and that's.
No.
It's lamb. They can eat that. Yes. No. Gyros are lamb. It is kosher. Now is the time the Gyros have come. So what's going on here? Greeks. Now, these are probably God-fearing Greeks who are becoming or interested in becoming Jewish,
okay.
But they're Gentiles.
Right.
The time has come because I've been focusing all my ministry on the Jews, but now the Gentiles are coming to me. It's time. Philip is a Greek name. Philip was from Bethsaida. He's Jewish, But with Greeley, they go to the guy he knows,
yeah.
and he brings them to Andrew, and together they go to Jesus. There's a lot more here to unpack, but it's a hint of the hour is now.
Yeah, it makes sense for them to go to him. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dr. B.
You bet.
We have Deacon Glenn Ritter back in the studio with us. We were going to just do a little extra. It could turn out to be that, but I have a feeling we're going to have enough time for a whole nother episode. Because there were some things we didn't get to talk about, Deacon. Deacon Ritter, if you didn't hear last week's episode, he is a doctor, a family doctor here in Sioux Falls. Been a doctor for almost 40 years. 40 years or almost 40 years?
Almost.
40, almost. And we were talking about contraception, about abortion, and the abortion amendment that a group is trying to get on the South Dakota ballot. And one of the things that we did not get really a chance to talk about was there's a lot said about health of the mother. And that was one of the things I really wanted you as a doctor to kind of talk to us about and walk us through what's actually an abortion? Is a mother actually in danger of dying if abortion is not legal in a state? So I don't know where you want to start. But
all right.
Well, please help us.
There's a lot of controversy, even from my ACOG colleagues, the American College of Gynecologists and Obstetricians. So there's this fear that they have that they can't take care of women because of the risks. And certainly no matter what we do, we get out of bed, we take risks.
Yes.
And the physicians are trained to take risk. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we wouldn't be physicians.
Right.
We take risk every day
yes.
dealing with patients' lives.
Yep.
And so there has to be some good definitions and oftentimes very ethical definitions of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in most states and certainly in the state of South Dakota, the definition, the legal definition on the statutes is an intentional killing or intentional termination of a pregnancy before birth, natural birth.
That is the definition of an abortion.
Of an abortion.
Okay.
The intentional killing of a fetus,
mm-hmm.
a baby. And in the situations where there are health concerns for the mother, there are at times significant health concerns for the mother.
What kind of things might those be? Just real quick.
Well, one of the things that really came up was a conversation I had with a very good, otherwise pretty pro-life OBGYN was there's a condition that's very high blood pressure. And so pulmonary hypertension that can really cause a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pregnancy challenges that condition. And so as in almost basically virtually everything in the pregnancy that would challenge it, it is not the presence of the baby
okay.
that challenges. It's not the genetics of the baby that's challenging the mother. It is the interface between the baby and the mother.
Okay.
The placenta does a marvelous job taking care of the pregnancy. Sometimes the hormones produced by the placenta can cause problems.
Okay.
And if there's conditions within the placenta that cause that, can elevate the blood pressure, elevate mm-hmm. the blood pressure in the lungs, cause damage, could cause lots of big problems.
Right.
Most of those happen later in the pregnancy.
Okay.
And as medicine has progressed, we have the technology and abilities now to take maybe about a 20-week pregnancy, deliver it, and this child will survive and
right.
do good.
Right.
Earlier, if they ever got a 20-weeker to survive,
mm-hmm.
they would have blindness, they'd have hearing loss, they'd have all kinds of problems
mm-hmm.
Because of how they were treated, because
right.
we thought we were treating them appropriately. But now with the technology, we say, okay, we were treating things a little more aggressive than they needed to
sure.
be. And so now you can get that baby to close enough to term to say, okay, fine, we can deliver this child, save
mm-hmm.
the child.
Mm-hmm.
So in any time when you're working on a patient, you have to consider all the people involved.
Right, right.
And so the ideal, if you have two patients that show up, the mother and the fetus, the baby within her, you say, well, the goal is we have two patients here. We have to try and take care of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can move that out far enough, then you say, okay, fine, we can get the baby delivered earlier than it would have delivered otherwise,
mm-hmm.
but we have to because the interface is causing trouble.
Right.
And so if we could treat the interface to take care of the problem, well, then we can leave the pregnancy alone.
Right, right.
And so when we treat the tissue that's causing the problem, which is not the baby, it is the placental tissue that's causing some trouble, then there's no problem with having to do that.
Right.
And so if we can treat it and move the pregnancy on to term, to delivery, whatever, we can deliver it, even if it's 20, 22 weeks, mm-hmm. then we go, okay, well, we should do that.
Yes.
Because we're taking care of both patients.
Yeah.
All right. The other side would try and diminish the value of the patient that is unable to speak.
Right.
And as a physician, we really should be representing both.
Right.
And I've had patients that develop cancer during pregnancy, mm-hmm. and they really wanted to maintain the pregnancy. I thought, that's marvelous. And so I talked to the cancer specialist. I said, well, this particular cancer, there are medicines that we can put the cancer at bay.
Ah.
And then we got the baby to 32 weeks, which then it can go home with mom.
Right.
And so you're not 36 to 39 or 40 weeks that it's really likely they're going to go home with mom. But usually past 32 weeks with everything that we can do now, that child will go home probably the same couple days later that mom will go home.
And then the mother can resume like full-on cancer treatment.
And that's the plan that we had, and she did. So this woman went in to labor, delivered the baby, and then you hammer the cancer, mm-hmm. and both survived.
Wow.
And we have stories of people that had cancers that were not amenable during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And we have St. Gianna that mm-hmm. decided to keep the pregnancy, and the cancer that she had did kill her, but mm-hmm. the baby survived.
Right.
And so in this society, you'd say, okay, well, it would be nice if we didn't have to lose the mother.
Right.
Because that's the primary role.
Right.
Is to be the mother. And there's so many different techniques that we can use now to go after the tissues mm-hmm. Without causing as much harm as used to be.
Right.
Yeah.
So can I ask a question? Of course, I'm not a doctor, obviously. I think a lot of people would have a question like this. So if you had a mother who had cancer and she wanted to be treated for the cancer full on, whatever, or that was the only option, but not abort the baby, that can be done. And it is possible that they may lose the baby.
Right.
And that is okay.
That is
in
okay.
In the church's
Because,
eyes.
Again, that is not the intentional
right.
killing of the child. There's always the law of double effect. This is the effect we want. It's more likely that we're going to have this effect, but we all know that the possible effect would be to harm the pregnancy or terminate the pregnancy.
Right.
But that's not the intent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going after the tissue that's causing the trouble.
Yeah.
And if we can't do anything but be very aggressive with that, the child will probably be lost.
Right.
But that's not the intent.
Yeah.
And people will say that's semantics and go, no,
that's
real ethics.
Yes.
That is real ethics.
Yes.
That is real triage.
Yeah.
You say, we have to treat this because the baby can't survive without the mother.
Right.
And if we have to treat it aggressively, we may lose the pregnancy.
Right.
And some of my OBGYN colleagues would say, we have to abort the baby so we can treat the cancer. And I say, taking the pregnancy out is not going to improve
right.
the use of the cancer drug. It
right.
is not going to improve how this woman responds to the cancer drug.
Mm-hmm.
It'll definitely get rid of the baby.
Right.
And I've had this argument with people. We have to kill the child so we can figure out what to do about the mother.
Right. That doesn't even make sense.
No. And I had, when I was in testimony in the committee in Peer, I had one of my OBGYN colleagues say that very thing. Here's a fictitious story, she says. Here's a pregnancy, first trimester, within the first 12 weeks. We identify a mass in the pelvis. And she was as bold to say, we have to kill the pregnancy so we can find out what this mass is. And I thankfully had an opportunity to rebut her.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if you were my doctor, I would definitely be looking for a different doctor.
Yes.
I said, you don't even know it's a cancer and you want to terminate the pregnancy so you can decide whether it's even a threat to the mother.
Right.
Because the baby's certainly not the threat that doing the termination is.
Right.
And she said, no. And so that worked out very nicely in our favor for life at
yes,
that point because
yes.
it made no sense.
Yes.
And I said, well, there's all kinds of things that you can do in pregnancy. People have surgeries on backs, on uteruses, mm-hmm. on babies in utero. They get their gallbladders out, all kinds of things during that. So you don't have to terminate the pregnancy mm-hmm. so you can make the other surgery less risky.
Right.
They just don't want to worry about the pregnancy. So well, let's just terminate it. You can do that again some other time.
Right.
Let's just deal with the point at hand, ignoring the other patient. Yeah.
Because our idea of the sacredness of life has dissipated so much.
Exactly.
Is there really a any time realistically that you have to abort a baby to save the mother?
No. You have to treat the disease process aggressively, which may affect the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And that was my point with this pro-life physician, was OBGYN. I go, no, you have to treat the problem. Mm-hmm. You have to treat the disease. It's an untoward side effect that harms a pregnancy. And it's like all kinds of things we do.
Yeah.
Well, if we treat you for cancer, your hair might fall out. Well, I can't have that.
Well, go, just shave my head first.
Yes. Yeah, so you don't have to lose it. And so we make those sacrifices all the time. You say, well, we have to treat this aggressively.
Yeah.
And that was one of those points where they have a disease process that will very likely progress to harming mom and thus, of course, baby.
Right.
They said, well, let's treat the process. Well, the process is the threat of the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. No, the process is not the presence of the baby. The process is the placenta tissue. So that makes the placenta tissue a pathology.
Right.
And we have to do something about that.
Right.
And if it happens to take the child, that's an unfortunate side effect.
Right.
And so you just stay with the ethics.
Yep.
And it exonerates you, you said. And like I say, there are people who will complain about the about semantics. And you go, that's what ethics is all about, to say, am I guilty or am I not guilty? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in this case, no, you're not guilty. You have to treat. Triage, you know, this the mother is way in trouble. Mm-hmm. And we have to go after that. And if it happens to cause problems, that's unfortunate.
Yep. So that would be the same for an ectopic pregnancy. Because that obviously is just not where it's supposed to be.
Right. And it cannot survive there. And people say, well, we have to do an abortion to save the woman. They go, no. Again, the pregnancy is in the wrong place. The main determining factor of the pregnancy being in the wrong place is the placenta that's attached along the side of the fallopian tube, not in the uterus where it's supposed to be.
Right.
And so we have to address that abnormal position of a tissue. It's not supposed to be there, which means it's a pathologic tissue.
Right.
And if we address that tissue, likely that's going to harm the baby.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not our intent.
Yeah.
And we have to treat the mother.
Yeah.
And so the doctors would say, well, you're going to abort the baby. I can't do that by law. And they go, no, you're not. You have to treat the disease.
Yes.
Well, they don't want to be sued. And I go, why are you a doctor?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my goodness.
You
could be sued for a lot of things.
And they go, you take that risk. And now you got two patients. You're just willing to risk or basically execute one child, one patient in order to save one patient. I go, that's not what you do in triage.
Right, right. What about, I know I've heard with a miscarriage that I can't treat women who are having a miscarriage. That makes no sense to me. So help me out here.
And that was almost the same, not the same pro-life physician, but other physician colleagues that are saying, well, we can't take care of miscarriages. And I go, are you forgetting the definition of a miscarriage?
Right.
A miscarriage means that the baby is dead.
Mm-hmm.
The baby's gone.
Right.
And so most miscarriages are handled well by the mother herself.
Right.
Now, if it doesn't, the body doesn't try and expel that dead tissue, then sometimes we have to go back in and take it, because if we leave it there, it's a pathologic tissue. It can become infected and cause problems, cause scarring, and sterilize the woman.
Yeah.
So we have to go get it. So that, no, that is not the intentional killing of anything.
Right, right.
The baby is dead.
Right. Okay. I want to also mention, and if we missed anything around the health of the mother, please, we can continue on with that. But I just want to talk a little bit about the pill, the medication that's out now, because that seems like a very dangerous thing to me. And I don't think a lot of people know that. Is there anything else around the health of the mother that we have missed that you want to add, you think?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
Just basically would always advise people to go to the ethics.
Yes.
What is really happening and what are the outcomes possible, just like any other process in the medical field? And what are the risks? What are the benefits? What do we want to do?
Right. Okay. So what can you tell us about the abortion pill that you can get through the mail?
Right. Unfortunately.
Yes.
And so the state of South Dakota has legislated that you should not, you cannot get the pill by mail across state lines. That is still happening anyway, because nobody is policing that.
Right.
And the pill is a set of two pills, actually. And so one is an anti-progesterone pill, basically. The first pill is to fight for the sites that the normal placenta and the normal mother's progesterone attach to maintain the pregnancy.
Okay.
And so you put this pill in there, and it blocks the site so the progesterone can't work, which in effect is dropping the progesterone that is maintaining the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And so it should kill the pregnancy. The second pill is a stimulant that we use at the end of pregnancy if the woman's not going into labor, she's going post-term. And that's to help stimulate the uterus to go into labor.
Okay.
So neither of these pills is actually could cause teratogenic effects or cancerous effects in the mother or the baby. And that's kind of a double-edged sword, how that was produced. So the main way of contradicting the first pill is progesterone.
Okay.
Not progestins that have the high potency, but actually progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you flood the person with progesterone, then the battle is tossed back on the side of progesterone, not on the side of the anti-progesterone pill.
Okay.
And people worry that, well, if the baby survives, now you're going to have a deformed baby. I go, no, because that pill is actually not harmful to the genetics of the baby.
Sure.
So, and I've done it. I did the very first abortion pill reversal in the state of South Dakota.
So good
I went
job.
To the Catholic Medical Association, and I learned how to do it. And I was probably a year or so later, I had everything in the office. I've already used those chemicals for other reasons in my natural family planning stuff anyway. So I had the progesterone in the office. And there is an abortion pill reversal hotline for the country.
Yes.
And then when they get a call from a woman who has decided to trying to reverse the effects of the abortion pills, then they hook up with somebody regionally where the patient is calling from, and they called me out of the blue. And they called me, it was a Friday. I usually don't work on Friday. So they called me about 1 o'clock on Friday, because this woman was on her way back from Iowa. So she went to Des Moines, not to Sioux City. There was no abortion clinic in there. So she went to Des Moines, took the first pill on the way home with the father of the child who wanted her to have the abortion, realized she did not want to do this. And so she found the phone number. She called Abortion Reversal Hotline. They called our number at a crisis pregnancy center here. And then they called me and said, how about this? What do you think?
Yeah.
And then I talked to the abortion reversal hotline and said, yes, we can do this. And then they said, well, can we get an appointment on Monday? I said, why would we wait till Monday?
Let's do it right now.
And so this woman took the abortion pills at about 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. By 9 o'clock that night, she's in my office.
Oh, good.
And we started the program, which means she sees me every day for like 3 days. So Friday, she gets a shot. Saturday, she gets a shot. Sunday, gets a shot. I find out that she's a Catholic and that she is active in a parish in Iowa, in Sioux City, actually. And so I invite her to Mass. So she shows up. She comes to Mass on Saturday evening and then gets her shot. On Sunday, she shows up with her parents, who speak very little English. This is a Hispanic young gal. Because they want to know if I'm real.
Sure.
And so I followed her for a few weeks to get her past about the first 14 weeks of pregnancy. Then I handed her over to OBGYN in Sioux City, who then took her through the rest of the pregnancy and delivered. And I went down and saw this little baby,
beautiful.
Roman, the day after he was born in Sioux City. Perfectly healthy little boy.
Oh, awesome.
And so, yes, you can reverse this. It is not harmful to reverse this. The other side would say, okay, you're going to cause this terrible bleeding. I go, no, that's what you guys cause.
Yes.
The terrible bleeding and cramping in the confines of the safety of your own home, supposedly.
Yeah, sure, where you have no medical
now,
help.
Stories of people, you know, passing out on the bathroom floor covered in blood because they're hemorrhaging because of these pills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely very harmful. And it's very deceptive thinking, well, this is a very comfortable thing to do.
Right, right. And I think it's also, it can put young girls in a very bad position.
Yes.
And where their parents don't know what's going on. And I think that's probably one of the, to me, it's one of the, besides the health effects, the one of the scariest things about it, because it could be happening right under your nose.
Yeah.
Very easily.
And when it comes through the mail. We had one that called me on and said, well, she got this stuff through the mail.
Yeah.
And so we met her in the office, and the office at the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And this medicine came from Austria. And it had twice as much of one of the pills that even anybody uses.
Oh, my goodness.
And very poor instructions. She called us because she couldn't understand the instructions. As a physician, I couldn't understand the instructions that they gave. And she gave us the meds.
Yeah.
As far as I know, maintained her pregnancy after that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of sneaky stuff out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deacon Ritter, we are out of time. This was so helpful to me. And I actually know a little bit about this stuff, so it was really helpful to me. I really hope it's helpful to our listeners, and I hope that they will maybe look into it a little bit more and maybe change their minds about some of this stuff. Is there any place they can go to learn more? Do you know? I'm asking you a question. This is out of the blue. So if he doesn't know.
Yeah. So you can Google, the Catholic Medical Association.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have planning training for this to reverse and give you more information.
Okay.
Certainly you can contact the Alpha Center, Crisis Pregnancy Center, yes. Pregnancy Help Center here in town. And we do all kinds of counseling there. You can contact me anytime.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to speak with anybody.
Yeah.
If they need some help to bolster their situation, or if there is somebody they know that's in a crisis type of pregnancy,
yeah.
Then let us know.
Great. Great. Thank you again for coming, for staying with us a little longer to talk about this stuff. It's just so important, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yep. Thanks a lot. If you want to also help support the group that is fighting against the constitutional amendment that they're trying to get on the ballot, you can go to lifedefensefund.com anytime. I believe it's .com or .org. I'm not positive about that. So go there, give them some support, and let's keep this thing from becoming law in South Dakota. That's it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Views.